scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get it going as we're kicking off Flames Talk in this hour with an absolute bang. We got a busy hour for you. Steinberg with you on this Wednesday, November 30th, last day of November. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. A little bit later on this hour, Daily Flames Roundtable. Lots of talk about Tuesday's 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers, but the Flames are a quarter of the way through their season at 10-9-3 on the year, and we're kicking off this hour with the general manager. Brad Treliving joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, and we got a lot to talk about with the GM. Brad, appreciate the time, as always, and as we look back at the first quarter of the season, I'm just curious as to where you are. Your group's 10-9-3 and coming off a big 6-2 win over Florida. How would you evaluate or put into words the first quarter of the season for your group?
Well, I think there's been lots of up and down. Number one, ultimately, I'll start with the obvious. Our record's not where we want it to be. And then you look at it and say, ultimately, that's where you usually start and finish. We're in a results-oriented business, and ultimately it comes down to wins, losses, and points. Now, how you evaluate it is you have to be process-driven, and how are you playing? So I'd start with the record isn't where we want it to be. There's been some up and down. We have, if I break it almost into three parts here, I think we're 5-1 to start. We drop 7 in a row. We come back on a 4. We go 4-1-1. We drop 3. We win last night. So there's been some volatility in the results. Up until, I think, I didn't like our game in Pittsburgh. I didn't like our game in Carolina, and we could get the back-to-back and all those sorts of things. But those are two games that sort of stand out to me. Even through the 7-game losing streak, and people would be, maybe shocked to hear, there's lots of parts of our game I liked, to be perfectly honest. And I thought there's a number of nights that we deserved a better result. Even last night was a difficult game for us coming back from those trips. Nobody wants to hear it, but that is the reality. You're trying to capture as much energy. We get the win, but there's a lot of parts of our game I didn't like last night in terms of how we played. So, we know that there's areas that we've got to improve in, and there's been some volatility in our play. So that's the mission right now is a more consistent, more consistent game. To me, it's a little bit of both in terms of creating more opportunities. I thought we were creating and generating a much more offense earlier in the year. More recently that's flattened out a little bit. We got 6 last night. I'd like to see us create, but we had 6 on, I think we finished off with 12 or 13 chances. So still like to find a way that we can create more while not giving up, not at the expense of giving up. A lot against, and then you go. So that's sort of a broad team approach, but ultimately, I think our first quarter can be, summed up that there's more we can get from the individuals, right? So when you look at the team scope, there's been some up and down. I think certainly in terms of production, we've got players that have not gotten to the production point that they're capable of, and we're going to need an increase in that.
Last time I spoke to you was kind of just at the beginning of training camp, and we talked a little bit about how, with so many new faces, and especially new faces in big time roles, maybe it could take some time. When you take a look, whether it's the process or you take a look at the results, like, is there a little bit of that going on, that it's a new group of players and new important players still trying to acclimate themselves to new surroundings?
For sure. You never want to use, and I'll start by saying, I don't want that to be construed as an excuse.
Right.
Nobody's standing up here and saying, well, you know, we're below where our expectations are because, you know, of this factors, and these factors are an excuse. So, but the reality is it, you know, and you can talk to people that have been through it themselves. There's some major change to people's lives, and there's major change to how they've gone about their business, their surroundings, you know, everything, for a large portion, if not all, their career. So it does take some time. Now, we don't just sit here every day and say, well, you know, let's just let the days pull off the calendar because we know it's going to take some time. You try to fast forward that and expedite that process as fast as you possibly can. And when you talk about, you know, those specific individuals, whether it be Jonathan, whether it be McKenzie, whether it be Nas, whether it be, you know, you go through the lineup, I think there's been steps taken that they are becoming more comfortable. They are sort of finding their way. There's a change in not only maybe how the team plays, but, you know, really how their game fits within the team structure from what they're used to. So those things do take time. We were, you know, in the back of my mind, you always had that thought of it's going to take time, but you don't use that as an excuse, or you don't hide behind it, or you don't just say, well, you know, these things, never mind anything else, it's just going to take some time, and that's the way it is. You're trying to, you work at it every day to try to expedite, get people as comfortable, fast forward the process as fast as you can. But I think there has been an adjustment period, and you hope every day that, you know, everybody's becoming more and more comfortable. It's becoming more and more second nature. But I've gone as far as talking to, you know, players that have gone through it themselves that aren't playing anymore, and or even managers that have had players that have, you know, come from other places after a long career, and the consistent theme is, yeah, the odd time things will click right away, but for the most part, there is an adjustment period, and you got to stick with it, and you got to keep, you know, pushing through it, and eventually it'll come. These are good players, you know, real good players, and so our job is to support them every day to try to get them as comfortable and get on the other side of it as quickly as we can.
Brad, you talked about, you know, wanting to create a little bit more. And I know at different times there have been stretches where maybe it's been a little bit more of a struggle for your group to generate offense, to score, however you want to put it. Is that something that you see as an easy fix, something that you can rectify fairly easily going forward? I'm just curious as to what you've seen in that regard as to why at times maybe it has been a little bit more of a struggle.
Well, I think there's a bunch to it, right? In a lot of cases, you're dealing with players. If it was players that have never done it before, right? So if you're looking at it, whatever it may be, in whatever walk of life, if your expectation of somebody to do something and they've never done it before, there's probably, you know, there's some uncertainty whether they're either A, capable, to do, most importantly, whether they're capable to do it. In a lot of our cases, we've seen players that have shown over the course of time and over the course of whether it be season or seasons that they are capable of doing things. So you know that the ability and their ability to do so is there. So then you look at what's different now. Sometimes in our business, you know, you go through stretches, right? You have players that get on streaks and get on rolls, and so much of this game is confidence, right? But you have to go back to the bricks and mortars of if, for instance, the idea isn't just say, okay, if we want to try to score more goals, you don't just wake up and say, I got to score. You got it. And as monotonous and as cliche as it sounds, it's doing the things that allow you to have the success. So rather than saying, I got to score a goal tonight, it's okay. What are the areas that I have to get to that allow me probably a better chance to score? What is the pieces in my game that allow us to maybe create more offense, holding on to pucks, playing more time in the offensive zone,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting our nose over the puck, getting into the areas that are uncomfortable to get to the blue paint, get shot volume, get, you know, as much as the game we all think evolves and changes, there's some real basic principles about the game of where goals are scored. And you just look at data of, you know, sort of your process of, are you doing the things that are required that percentage wise gives you the best opportunity to create offense. So those are the things you have to get back to, those foundational principles of, you know, putting the work in, and doing, make sure you're focusing on the steps that allow you to have success rather than just trying to, you know, focus on, geez, I haven't scored in X amount of games, I got to score a goal tonight. Well, you know, that can get people to clam up, and that can get people to, you know, be squeezing it, as we say. But if you focus on, I got to get to the front of the net. I got to find out, make sure I get, you know, 2 to 3 shots on net. I got to find second opportunities. We got to put more, you know, pucks into the paint. We've got to, you know, get our forecheck so we're turning more pucks over. We're protecting it. We're holding on to it. We're spending more offensive zone time. You start building those things on top of each other, and then ultimately, you know, ultimately, more often than not, you'll have results. And we saw it last night,
yeah.
Right? There was, you know, the goals that we scored a lot of times are the byproduct of, you know, we had goals last night. Like you look at whether it be power play, we had a shorthanded goal, we got 5-on-5 goal. There's a lot of goals that are scored. You look at where the goals are scored, right? You know, not very often is it a, you know, a highlight reel goal or a goal from distance. A lot of the goals that are scored in this game are in the home plate area. It's in the high danger area. It's second opportunities. It's, you know, the power play goal we scored last night. It's a, you know, there's an initial shot on net. There's traffic in front of the net. You know, somebody punches in a rebound. You know, Dylan's goals are scored. They're in tight. They're nice plays, but they're, you know, you're shooting from, you know, high danger areas. You're getting your tighter to the net. So that to me is an area when you look at our even statistically when we break it down. You know, we're one of the higher shot volume teams. You know,
yep.
Getting a shot on net is. It's something we do well, but not all shots are equal. When you start looking at getting to the areas that are you usually have more success scoring from, that's been an area we're not as good as we can be, and so that's an area that's got to improve.
With Flames GM Brad Treliving with us here on Flames Talk, you've talked over the last number of months about how, you know, definitely you're always in the lookout and on the lookout for helping your group and maybe a little bit of an infusion at forward is something that you'd be looking for. And not asking specifically about that, but just, you know, knowing that you're always looking to improve. Here we are. We're getting towards the end of November. What is the market like out there? What are the conversations like? Is this a time when things start to maybe you're able to start some things and maybe start to plant some seeds on some conversations?
Well, I think those conversations are always happening. You know, I think everybody's usually, you know, everybody takes a period of time to find out what you have, right? Like it takes, you know, I know people talk about the American Thanksgiving date as a marker in the calendar, and you know, to some degree, I guess it is. But and it falls in line probably on the same calendar date. But you know, once you get 20 games in, you usually have a pretty good idea of you know maybe the areas that you need improvement in, what you have, and so you know that external market or those discussions are always they're happening throughout the season. You know, we, and I've talked about it before as we continue to try to help ourselves, or see if there's opportunities to help yourself. And again, the reality in the business is, you know, you also have to find fits financially, right? In terms of what cap space is available, what players make, what the cost is. And when I say if not just looking at external options, you know, we have to be very, you know, diligent looking internal options, right? We've got, you know, whether that be, you know, you see a Adam Rozicka that's come in and, you know, primarily most recently has had some success on the wing. So those are opportunities we have to continue to look at. You look at our the players that we have in our own organization with the Wranglers. We have a Wrangler team that's playing very well. You know, was you talk about an adjustment. I think there was a little bit of an adjustment for them at the beginning of the year, but that was, a top team in the American League a year ago and has been one of the best teams in the last month. And players playing very well down there. And those are things we have to be open to, and we have to, you know, look at providing opportunities for players, A, when they're deserving, and B, when there's a fit. So those are things that, you know, when I talk about not, you know, continue to try to help ourselves, it's not, you know, you number one is the most important thing is to try to build from within and grow your own. And to me, there's players within the organization that are showing they're in need or deserving of an opportunity, and that's something we push and talk about each day. And but as far as external conversations, those happen all the time, Pat, and I think those are things that are, you know, once you get past that 20-game mark, people are a little bit more, okay, I may have a deficiency here. You look, and I don't think it's a unique thing to this year, but there's been a lot of injuries around the league, you know, and, you know, so again, everybody, you know, everybody has to deal with that. And, sometimes an injury related issue spurns, you know, an opportunity, you know, whether that's cap related, it creates opportunities for LTI and cap maneuvering. So, I wouldn't say that conversations are any more or any less than they normally would be at this time of year.
I just want to pick up on that internal part of the conversation, and whether it's, you know, whether it's Matty Phillips or Jacob Pelche or Connor Zary and some of the players that you have having really nice years and really productive years with the Wranglers. Like, when is the right time? When is the right time to say, okay, now's the time to give player A that opportunity to see what he can do at the NHL level? And I'm curious as to, you know, how you go about making that call.
Now, there's no perfect time, right? If you're waiting for the perfect time, those things are never going to happen. So, you know, it's one thing just to look at statistics, right? And some people look at statistics and they tell a story. But you also want to make sure players are ready for that opportunity. They're the most confident they are. And what I've found is players that have a chance to succeed at this level are players that are, you know, dominant. When I say dominant, that doesn't necessarily mean statistically dominant, right? But they're very good in whatever role that is that you envision them playing at the NHL level. It may be in a checking role. It may be in a, you know, in a bottom six role or a checking role. It may be in an offensive role. It may not necessarily be, you know, a player that's a top line player at the American Hockey League coming in being a top line player here. But you want to put them in positions to succeed. You know, if you're an offensive player, when you get an opportunity in the NHL, it only makes sense that you would be playing with offensive players. So there's never, you know, there's never the perfect time to say, well, you know, you've got to check all these 10 boxes. Ultimately, when a player is producing, when a player is, when I say producing, is showing that they're ready for an opportunity. They're doing all the things that you want them to do at the American League level, and that you have a need or a position to fill, then you have to do it. Ultimately, the staff, you know, has to be comfortable. The coaching staff has to be comfortable in positions they're going to put people in. There's got to be a fit within your lineup. But those things, you know, at the end of the day, there's never the perfect time. It's just, you know, when you have an opening or a need and a player or players are at that stage where they deserve an opportunity. So certainly I think we've got players that are doing a really good job down there. They're working, they're being patient, and at some point here, there's going to be opportunities for those players to see if they can help us.
Okay. A couple more with Brad True Living. Just two more. First of all, you know, it's been a really nice run here from Dan Vladar between the pipes. He's had himself a really nice stretch, and I know that Jacob has not been happy with his level of play through the first quarter of the season. Just where are you, and how have you observed your goaltending to this point?
Well, I think, as we stated, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think goaltending is a strength of ours. We've got two good goaltenders. We've got two goalies that we're very confident in. Jacob is a proven, in my mind, elite goaltender in this league. Like all players, right? You go through parts of your game where there's areas that you can improve upon, and I think Jacob's had some really good games for us. You know, I went on the stretch in the road where I know the staff wanted and Barb's wanted to get him on a roll, and then Danny's come in and played really well. So for us right now, you know, it's an area that we know we've got an elite starting goaltender that continues to work at it, and he's finding his groove. And we've got Danny who's playing well. So that's an area that we hope and we know it's a strength of ours. And I have every confidence in the world in Jacob that he's going to continue to, you know, grind away at it and get back to the level, the consistent level that we've seen and come to expect from him. And we know we've got a really, you know, we know we've got real good support in Danny. So, you know, that's an area that we feel comfortable. We know it's going to be a strength for us, and I have every confidence in the world in both guys.
And Brad, finally, no, I think as this first quarter has gone on, there's been a number of times, whether it's taking phone calls or just having conversations, there's been a number of times where the theme of, okay, it was really easy for a good chunk of last year's regular season, and then when things got hard in the playoffs, it became a little bit more difficult for the group to handle that. Well, things have been a little bit more difficult in the first quarter of this season, first 22 games of this year. And there's a lot of people who think that could really help your group down the road. I'm just is that too easy to say? Is that too cliche for you, or do you buy into that?
Well, I would tell you this, Pat. Right, everybody, and you can start with me. Everybody wishes that we were whatever record is that we were 20-0 or 22-0 or whatever it is. That's not reality. You know, in whatever walk of life you're in, you're going to go through adversity. Now, the people that say we love going through adversity, you're probably not telling you the truth, but I think it's a requirement to go through it. I think I've said it before, you build some skin, and you know, this isn't supposed to be easy. And sometimes when you go through adversity, it's difficult to go through it. But I think it's required to have any type of success in any walk of life. And our business and our team sport is no different. I think we face some. I think it's as you go through it, you're finding ways. You grind away to try to find ways to make yourself better, and that would be my hope: is that as you go through struggles, through that you get stronger, right? You rely on, and you build an identity of your team. You go through these difficult times, and you come out of it stronger and better for the experience that you've had, and so. I don't disagree with your the comparative between last year and this year, and every year is a new year, and I hate going back and talking about necessarily the past, but you have to learn from it. And I think there's a lot of things that went really well for us last year, and there was only small, you know, there's only small brief periods of times where you would have you know, where we had that adversity. If you look back at last year, we were kind of going along, and then we hit a big, you know, it was right around this time where we were shut down with the COVID. And and we came back, and you know, we had scheduling changes, and we had a big homestand. And to me, that sort of, in a lot of ways, propelled our season. And so this year we've had two big trips out east. We've had some travel. These are not excuses at all, but these are the challenges we've had to go through. And in the meantime, we're trying to find our game. We're trying to find our game collectively as a team. We're trying to find our game as individuals. And my hope is through this experience, we're going to be better off for it, as we go forward here. But we understand that the immediacy and the urgency to continue to find it quickly and to gain and gather some points is paramount. So it's a long-winded answer of saying, I don't think adversity is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Never fun when you're going through it, but to me, to accomplish anything of significance, you need to go through it.
Thank you for the time, as always, Tree. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Pat. Take care now.
He's the general manager, Brad Tree Living, joining us here to kick off this hour of Flames Talk. Lots there. You know, I found the stuff about, whether it be trade or recalling internally. Thought there was some really interesting stuff in there. Still a ton of confidence in both of his goaltenders. And yeah, he was very, very adamant not to make excuses. This is one of the only lines that Mike Keenan ever said while he was here that made sense and didn't go in one ear and out the other. But it was, these aren't excuses, these are reasons. And I always have fallen back on that one because, look, there are things that happen over the course of an 82-game NHL season that can be difficult. And no team, and Brad was very adamant there that we're not using these as excuses, but and you're supposed to overcome them, but you know what? They're a factor sometimes. And I honestly believe the first quarter of the season, a big part of why we've seen some of these struggles is not because they're a poorly built team or because the players aren't good or because this player or that player is done. I honestly think a big chunk of what we've seen is a little bit of the results of growing pains. And you'd like that not to be the case, and you would have liked growing pains to be eliminated 5 or 10 games into the season, but they haven't 100% as of yet. I do think what we saw Tuesday against Florida was nice, and hopefully that's a building block, but I think some of the offensive struggles, that's going to be a work in progress for the team. And now that we're into the second quarter of the season, what you're looking for is just incremental growth, and you want them to be a little bit better in the next 20 or so games than they were in the first 20. And the good news is they're still right there in the playoff mix. They're in a playoff spot as it stands on this Wednesday. So that was good. Really appreciate that from the general manager. Thanks to Peter Hanlon of the Flames for helping facilitate that as well. That will be up for you as part of the Hour One podcast, and will also be up for you as a bonus podcast as well, all over on the Flames Talk podcast feed. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. GM Brad Tree Living joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Dine in, pick up, or have your game day special delivered. Find out why Atlas Pizza is a 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call 403-248-3344.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
So we kicked off this hour with the general manager, Brad Tree Living, and we continue along with our daily Flames Roundtable. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, home of the Mercedes-Benz AMG GLC 43 with the 4MATIC all-wheel drive system, perfect for winter, MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca. My name is Pat Steinberg as this hour of Flames Talk continues. Logan Gordon and Derek Wills all with us on our daily Flames Roundtable on this Wednesday. Gents, a 6-2 win over Florida on Tuesday as Calgary snaps a losing skid at 3, and they're able to score some goals as well. 6 goals go in against the Panthers. Just how important was it for that group to see a few pucks go in against Florida?
Well, first of all, tough act to follow coming on after the general manager. How lucky are we to have Brad Tree Living?
Yeah, it's good.
He always makes himself available. You had a great chat with him, Pat. That was awesome. But as far as last night, I think it was a really important win for the Flames. First of all, the first game at home coming off a long road trip, for whatever reason, tends to be tough to win. But for the Flames, they kind of needed that win last night. And they got it. And six guys had multi-point games. And the team scored six goals. And they've got to feel a little bit more confident offensively. And that's been a struggle for them this season. And that's something we've talked a lot about. Last season, just everything seemed to come so easy to the Flames. They scored easily. They won easily. They won the division easily. And then when they faced some adversity in the Stanley Cup playoffs, more so in round two than in round one, I'm not sure they really knew how to deal with it. Well, they're going to be battle-tested this year if they can get back to the postseason, because they've had lots of ups and downs and went into last night's hockey game at 500 and having lost the last three games of their season-long six-game road trip. So that was a really important win and a really important pair of points. But I think for some individuals, it could be a game that, in hindsight, we look at as a bit of a springboard. And at the top of my list would be Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane.
Yeah.
I thought Mangiapane played his best game of the season last night. And we've talked a little bit about Brad Treleving's quotes, calling him or wanting to see him look more like a Honda Civic than a Rolls Royce. And that's exactly what he looked like last night, with the spare tire and the bumper hanging off and maybe a little bit of duct tape on there. But, he got his nails dirty last night and was in the middle of everything. And that's when he tends to be at his best. And that's when the puck tends to follow him around, which doesn't happen by accident. But great to see him get rewarded offensively. I thought Dylan Dubé was absolutely shot out of a cannon last night. He had a ton of energy. When I asked Daryl Sutter about the performances of Dubé and Mangiapane this morning, he talked about their young legs and how important it was to have those young legs coming off that road trip where they played six games in 10 days. And they traveled between all of the games and traveled to get to the trip and then to get back from the trip. So that was a long haul for the guys. And you could see that those guys had a lot of energy last night. So you just hope that it turns out to be a building block for them. And Jonathan Huberdeau has to feel great getting a goal against his former team and getting another win against his old team, the Panthers. So all in all, big win for the Flames. But individually, they needed more from some guys, and they got more from some of those guys last night. So I think that's promising.
Yeah, for me, obviously the offensive explosion was important. But for me, it's almost, to Derek's point, it's about the guys that scored for me that almost makes it more important for the Flames and takes it to that next level. When you talk about Dubé scoring and Mangiapane scoring and Jonathan Huberdeau, let's be honest, is a guy that's tried to find his way here. And was it the prettiest goal he scored in his career? Not by a long shot, but it had to feel good to score against his old team.
But they've talked about having to score more of those greasy goals, 100%, Logan. So it's almost a lesson learned, isn't it?
I think so, too. And I think that, all of the guys can learn from that. And to me, it was great to see them score six. We've talked so much about this team needing more offense and needing that one extra goal. They got more than the one extra goal. But it all comes down to who it was last night. For me, Mangiapane and Dubé are so important to what this team wants to be, especially how they're currently constructed. And we can talk about bringing in a forward down the line or if and when that ever happens. Well, right now, those two guys need to be productive offensively. They need to share in the offensive responsibility. And last night was, to me, a clear indication that they can. We know they're willing to put in the work. Since day one, we've known they're willing to put in the work. That's not a surprise. You guys have watched it as much as anybody at practice. Those are the two hardworking kids that have grown up in this organization together. We know the work's there, but now they're going to be expected to be top six forwards in the NHL. You have a Stanley Cup champion as your center iceman. The expectation is higher, and I think that for them to get that confidence boost and to get, see the puck go in a couple of times from their own hard work and off of the, ironically, off of the tape of the other guy, too, plays into it. So for me, yes, great to see the offensive explosion, but even more important to see who it came from.
Yeah, it was like there's a lot of them. Like I'm with you. I thought Mangiapane played his best game of the season. They need that. They've needed that from him all year long because they got thinner when it comes to scoring off the wing. When they lose two wingers and only replace with one, that's you're gonna need, the very least, you needed Mangiapane to be at around the same level offensively as he was last year. And I'm not talking about 35 goals. I'm just talking about the effectiveness and what he's generating and getting to tough areas, which he's really struggled at times this season. Not on Tuesday against Florida. Dubé gets 3 points. That's got to help. I was talking to him after practice and just about, he's like, yeah, I feel like last couple weeks, the game's been actually where it needs to be, and it's nice to get rewarded. And he was so happy when I was talking to him about, he's like, to paraphrase what Dylan said, he just said, Madge has been working his ass off, and it's nice to see him get rewarded. And I was so happy that I could get him that feed on the 6-2 goal because he fed me. It was just, you could tell that was a big time weight off their shoulders. And how much have we talked in on post games, Derek, about this group needing to play with a significant lead for a long period of time, and they were able to. They were up 3-0, and they were up 4-1, and they were able to build a lead and sit on a lead. And I know it wasn't as easy as they would have liked, but they led by 2 or 3 goals for a good chunk of that game against Florida, and that has to be, it's so hard to play when you're on that razor's edge and you're teetering and you've only got a 1-goal lead, or you're chasing and you're, or you're tied, to be able to play with a little bit less of that stress on your shoulders has got to be huge. And they scored on the power play. They scored a power play goal in a greasy way, as you said, guys. Shot from the point, couple of opportunities, all kinds of black jerseys, which look great, all kinds of black jerseys in the crease, and they're able to score a goal that way. So I thought for so many different reasons, it was huge they were able to score, see goals go in, make plays, and have those plays end up as meaningful offense. I thought it was a really big game.
Yeah, I must admit, the Blasty jerseys have grown on me. I didn't love them when they first came out.
No,
but,
hey.
I really love the pants. And I love Jacob Markstrom's goalie gear. Dan Vladar's isn't quite as flashy, but might look really good with the reverse retro jerseys that they're going to wear on Thursday retro night. But
that's what I was thinking. His was kind of more down the middle between the two. And I think Jacob's is kind of more towards the Blasty kit.
Yeah, his gear is sick. I can't wait to see him with the Blasty jersey on. But yeah, it was a really important win for the Flames. And you hope that this gets Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane going. And there's some other guys they need to get going offensively as well. And it's crazy, but Nazem Kadri is one of those guys. He is now goalless and pointless in 6 games. And he's certainly not at the level right now that he was earlier in the season. Now, it's a long season, and he knows as well as anybody in that dressing room that you don't want to empty your tank during the regular season, because you'd rather do that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And let's hope the Flames get there, because I think that's when he's going to be at his absolute best. But they lost 2 40-goal and 2 100-point players in Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. And yeah, Jonathan Huberdeau is a 30-goal, 100-point player himself, but he's not going to score all of those goals and produce all of those points that the Flames lost with those, you know, 2 elite offensive players. So they're going to have to do it by committee. And going into the season, I thought 2 guys who could really help them do that were Dubé and Mangiapane. So it was great to see them have 5 points between them last night. And, you know, Huberdeau is this team's best offensive player. So it's been good to see him turn the corner. And Pat, you talked about making plays. He is making so many plays right now.
Yep.
Not all of them have resulted in goals, but you can tell that he's that same guy we saw in the preseason. He's that same guy we saw finish second in the Art Ross Trophy race last season. He's back to that level again, and sooner or later, once he, I think, develops some chemistry and some timing with his line mates, right now Elias Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli, then that line's probably going to start to go off. But that was a big win. Big pair of points and a great way to start the 5-game homestand.
Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk. Gents, if you were making the call, Dan Vladar has started, three of the last 4 now. Or 4 of the last 5, whatever it is. He has started way more. It's 3 of the last 4. He started way more frequently of late than what we saw in the first quarter of the season. They've got the Montreal Canadiens on Thursday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. If it were you, you only, you had the call, and you were accountable to that call, who gets the start for you?
What's the wrong answer? I mean, seriously, I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just wondering what the wrong answer is. I'm not sure I could be right or wrong, regardless of which way I go here. I'm going to go back to Dan Vladar, believe it or not. I just think that the Flames tried to let Jacob Markstrom play out of his funk, and that didn't work. So if I'm if I'm in that coach's office and having to make that difficult decision, I'm going to try something new. And that something new is letting Dan Vladar, who has been playing at a really high level of late, kind of take the ball and run with it for a little while. Now, this is a 5-game homestand. In a perfect world for me, one guy gets 3 starts and the other guy gets 2 starts. And I'm guessing that's probably the way it's going to go. But Thursday is a tricky one. So if Vladar does start on Thursday, then I think Markstrom starts on Saturday. And the bottom line is the coaches have way more information than we do. You know, they can do a deep dive into some analytics and how a goaltender has performed against certain opponents. And they can have conversations with these guys that we can't.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wonder where Jacob's head's at right now. I watch him practice. I see a goaltender who's frustrated. And I feel like he has to shake that off to really be at his best. And maybe he can do that by working through some things with goaltending coach Jordan or Jason LaBarbera in practice and, you know, building his confidence back up that way. Or maybe he has to work through it by playing well and winning games. I'm not sure, but you know, they have way more information than we do. So, you know, from the outside looking in, I still think that Jacob probably has some things that he'd like to tighten up when it comes to his game. And I guess the question is, can he do that in practices or does he have to do that in games? But, you know, points are important to this team right now. This isn't last year where they, you know, built a fairly comfortable lead in the fight for a playoff spot and ultimately in the fight for first place in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
This is a team that is battling to be in a playoff spot right now, and every single point matters. I think Vladar is playing at a pretty high level right now, and I'm not saying that I'm making him the new number one goaltender. That's absolutely not the case. That's definitely Markstrom's job, but I think it's okay to have some healthy internal competition. And, you know, if Jacob's working on things at practice and chomping at the bit to get back into a game, maybe when he does get a game, whether that's tomorrow or Saturday, and I'm convinced he'll get one of those two games, then he'll be back to the guy that we know he can be and play at that Vezina Trophy level.
Yeah, I'm going Dan Vladar on Thursday. I liked what I've seen from him the last few outings. I think he gives you every chance to win. And to me, Derek, the last point you made is simply the most important one, and that's that you need points. You're a game above 500 right now. You're in a very crowded Pacific Division and wild card race. It's about wins right now, and you're right. I don't think that anybody here in this roundtable saying that they would start Dan Vladar on Thursday means that you're closing the door or changing anything about Jacob Markstrom. To me, if anything, it's a positive. It means that you have a guy that you trust that can take the load for 2 or 3 games or more if he's playing well. That's a good thing. Like, let's not turn this into a bad goaltending controversy. Is it not better to have 2 guys that you can rely on than one?
Mm-hmm.
I seem to think that everyone here takes it as a negative that Jacob Markstrom isn't going for 3 games or that Dan Vladar can come in. I look at this the other way, guys. I think it's an incredible positive that as someone that's lived in Calgary and followed the Flames my entire life, can't always say that this organization, Pat, you know as well as I do, it's been a lot of years, there hasn't been 2 competent goaltenders.
There's been a lot of years where there hasn't been one.
Exactly. Yeah. So to have 2 guys that can do that, use it as a positive. I think it's a great opportunity. And I go back to last night, and I think about, or Tuesday night, I should say, and I think about what I saw when Jacob embrace Dan after all the players that give him, you know, a little fist bump, a little head bump, whatever. Jacob had as big a smile on his face as anybody to congratulate Dan. I think they're a great tandem, and I think Jacob is a smart enough person and a big enough man to understand that his goaltending partner is going well right now and is giving the team a chance to win and isn't going to take this opportunity to put his head in the sand and be a sourpuss and be upset about it. But we'll look at it more as a challenge to get back to his game as soon as possible to be there. So I have no problem with Dan Vladar getting the start on Thursday. It's the way I would go, and I think it's a positive for this team that they have 2 goaltenders you can trust to win hockey games
and
for
I
them.
And I have no idea how they're going to go, but if it were me, I'll go unanimous just to be boring, but I would go Vladar. They need points right
boring.
Now. And I know, I don't think I'd be able to come up with a convincing argument because I'm not good at lying. Just not, except to myself. But the...
In what sense, Pat?
You look good today, Pat.
That's good.
Wow. That's dark.
You do look good today, Pat.
I would, they need points. I did not think that they would be in a stretch this early or really at any point where it was like, yeah, you got to ride the hot hand in net. Like, I thought that we were kind of beyond that, but Jacob has struggled. I think he will get past those struggles. I do. But right now, they're only a game above 500, as Logo said. They need to dig out of this hole that they've dug themselves over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And luckily, the hole they've dug themselves is at similar depth to some other teams in the Western Conference and the Pacific Division, so it's not as damning. But I do think for where they want to go, they would like to be a team that's a top three playoff group in the Pacific Division, and I don't think they want to be fighting tooth and nail and clawing right down to game 80 and 81 to do so. Right now, as Jacob gets his game back in order, they also, I think, need to ride the guy who's playing better, and right now that's Dan. Good on him. I'm glad he got the win on Tuesday because it was another, he was a 939 goalie again, and he's had some games where he's been really, really strong, but hasn't got the result. I was happy he got it against the Panthers.
Yeah, and he'd lost 5 in a row prior to last night. He won his first start of the season. It was that Battle of Alberta back on October 15th up in Edmonton. Beat the Oilers 4-3 in that game, and despite playing really well in all but one game after that, wasn't able to find a way to help the Flames win a hockey game. But maybe that's the bigger story here, guys. I am just as confident in Jacob Markstrom as I am in Dan Vladar if the team plays the right way in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And as fun as last night's win was, and as much as the Flames probably needed that type of win, because you know last season they would get a lead, and then a one-goal lead would quickly become a 3 or 4-goal lead, and they would completely bury their opponent and not give them a chance to battle back. That's the one thing the Flames haven't been able to do this season, is take a one-goal lead and then put their opponent away by scoring 2 or 3 more goals and putting the game out of reach. But they did that in last night's game against the Panthers, which was great to see. Now, with that said, and this is going to sound probably a little bit nitpicky, and ultimately right now I do think that the results are more important than the process, although I think you need both long-term, that's not the way the Flames want to play. That was a weird game that neither team really was able to reel in. It was kind of like the first game of the season series between the Flames and the mm-hmm. Panthers, where it was back and forth, and you know, there were way too many scoring opportunities at both ends, and I think both head coaches would tell you that. You know, there were 2-on-0s with the team shorthanded. It was just bizarre, but you know, the Flames are going to have to tighten things up defensively in front of both Markstrom and Vladar, and if they do that, I think they make the lives of their goaltenders easier. And let's be honest, there was a goal last night that I think Dan Vladar would like to have back. And everybody wants to point the finger at Jacob Markstrom when he gives up a bad one or an iffy one. But, you know, there have been some bad ones or iffy ones for the other guy as well. But there have also been a lot of grade A chances against. So if you can cut down on those, then I think you make life easier for both goaltenders. I'm confident, really confident, as a matter of fact, in the tandem that the Flames have. And we'll have to wait and see what Daryl Sutter decides to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Markstrom or if it was Vladar tomorrow night, to be honest.
He's Derek. He's Logan. I'm Pat. That's your Daily Flames Roundtable on this Wednesday. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. For the Mercedes-Benz enthusiast, find the perfect presence at the Mercedes-Benz boutique online at mercedesbenzcountryhills.ca. A few texts come in at 960. 960 says, Pat, go Vladar until he loses. Shouldn't matter who makes more money. It's all about wins and how the team plays in front of the goalies. That comes from Travis. I don't know if it's about go until he loses, but I don't mind if he gets a little bit more runway here for the next little bit.
If he goes, if Dan goes on Thursday and you say, hey, Saturday night at home, a chance to rebound against the Capitals for Markstrom on Saturday,
yeah,
who they just lost
to last
week.
That's how I would do it. That's what I'm thinking. I'd go Vladar
that
Thursday.
Makes a lot of sense to me, right? Get back in there. The team that just beat you last week. Here we go.
Okay, guys. It's I haven't done this for a few weeks, but I need my Burley on if you could, because it's a big deal here. Well, we had a pretty big night on Tuesday against Florida. It's time for your Flames Talk Best Bets, brought to you by Bodog.net. Find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Hashtag make a play. Free play only. Play responsibly. I think we should have gone 4-0 on best bets. They haven't given an assist to Elias Lindholm
Which
on the Toffoli goal. They should. I'm going to lobby for it.
Say. It means they won't.
We did go 3-1, though, in that game against the Panthers. We hit on the Flames on the money line. Hopefully you got in at around minus 140 because it definitely moved from Monday to Tuesday. But we hit Flames money line. We hit the Flames on the puck line to win by two as they end up winning by four. And we hit on Jonathan Huberdeau over half a point. So 3 of 4 on Tuesday. Should have gone 4 on 4.
In fairness, in a Flames game that they score 6 in, for Elias Lindholm to walk away without a point.
And should have got a point. Annoying. We could have gone 4-0. We are 4-1 on the week, however, so that's good. There's not a whole lot posted yet for Thursday's game against Montreal. I do know Flames are huge underdogs. Not huge underdogs. They're huge favorites. And not a whole lot of value. I think it's minus 285 last time I checked for the Flames on the money line. So that one, not as sexy as it was against Florida. So not a whole lot posted for Thursday. We'll wait till Thursday to get you some best bets on that game. Do have one for Wednesday, however. Gonna go Mika Zibanejad of the Rangers over 3.5 shots against Ottawa. Sens are a very high event team, both for and against. It's also Mika's former team. So yeah, I'll go big night for Zibanejad. I'll go over 3.5 shots. I like that for a little sprinkle. You're getting about minus 140 if you go bet that at Bodog right now. So just the one on this Wednesday, Zibanejad over 3.5 shots, but we did go 3-1 on Tuesday against the Panthers. Those are your Flames Talk best bets on a Wednesday. Brought to you by Bodog.net. Find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. #make a play. Free play only, 18+. Play responsibly.